Hello and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on compliance and records management. My name is Joe Waller. By the end of this session, you will have learned how SharePoint 2007 helps with compliance and records management. First, we are going to give an overview of the topics we will be covering today. During the session, we will look at records management and the challenges it presents. We will then review the Enterprise Content Management, or ECM, features of SharePoint 2007 and how they address these challenges. We will also examine how records management is made easier with SharePoint 2007. We'll examine collaborative spaces and record spaces and how they function. Then we'll review an important feature in any records management system, hold orders. We'll look at hold orders, what they are, and how records managers can put a hold on records. Finally, we'll look at email records management and how it's critical to any records management solution. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. Here's a brief overview of what would be helpful but not essential for this session. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to the session or to reference afterwards. We will be examining the newest version of Windows SharePoint Services version 3.0. So a basic understanding of Windows SharePoint Services version 2.0 will help you understand the concept we introduce. Windows SharePoint Services originally shipped with Windows Server 2003, so it would be helpful to understand basic administration in Windows Server 2003 to understand Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007. Some previous experience with records management would also be helpful. To cover the topics mentioned and keep the session flow going, we have divided the session up into the following agenda items. First, we are going to look at the Enterprise Content Management, or ECM, features of SharePoint 2007. We'll look at the reasons why records management is important to organizations today, and then look at the content management and records management architecture. Next, we'll examine collaboration and records management spaces. See how each is designed to facilitate a slightly different type of interaction between users, and the specific records management features of each. Then we'll look at an important feature in any records management system, hold orders. We'll explain what they are and how they are executed in record spaces. Finally, we'll look at email content management and learn about two new features, manage mail folders and management policies. And we'll see how organizations can manage email like other records. SharePoint 2007 has been redesigned to focus on some key areas. At the center of the key feature areas of Microsoft Office SharePoint 2007 is the platform services, which include workspaces, management, security, storage, topology, and site model. Other feature areas include business intelligence, collaboration, portal, search, content management, and business forms. So where does records management fit? Records management involves many key feature areas, including collaboration, search, content management, and business forms. In this session, you'll see how these features work together to provide a robust records management solution in Microsoft Office SharePoint 2007. You might be asking yourself, why records management? There are several reasons why records management is important, not the least of which are new laws, which you've probably heard of, such as the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, or SOX. This requires public companies to be able to demonstrate that they have control processes in place for ensuring the accuracy of their financial statements. This is a significant challenge. A lot of people handling information at different levels in a company are involved in preparing financial results. So certifying those results requires the organization to have a degree of confidence and structure in the end-to-end process at all levels of the organization. Second, the Act specifies some harsh and personal penalties on corporate executives who sign off on inaccurate statements. So those leaders want to ensure that their companies keep records that show that they've acted in good faith, which means that every CFO, CEO, and CIO of every public company now has a direct and personal connection to records management. And that's not the only law. There are thousands of laws and regulations that require a business to keep records, including tax regulations, employment laws, privacy regulations, financial regulations, and industry-specific regulations. Furthermore, records management processes are often ad hoc and ineffective. In a survey conducted by Cohasset Associates Incorporated in 2003, 41% of records managers rated their programs as marginal or fair. Records management practices are based on an old-style documentation practice where documentation of business practices and business records existed primarily on paper. These records were created slowly and manually, often through dictation and typewriters, and had to go through many physical routing approval processes before they were published. Only a small number of authorized individuals in key positions in a company were able to create such official records. The volumes of records were small, duplication rarely existed, and the documents were stored in manila file folders and eventually boxed up and sent to a centrally managed storage warehouse. Compounding that is the fact that, in today's information age, we have high volumes of documents with many versions, often duplicated through email transport, created by many individuals, in a multitude of electronic and physical formats. Email, Word documents, spreadsheets, data warehouses, data tapes, paper, and so on. Stored in a decentralized manner on many types of storage media, from networks over hard drives, flash drives, CDs or DVDs, cell phones, and more. It's not uncommon for knowledge workers to receive over 100 emails a day. Who is responsible for properly filing or discarding all of those items? Who is responsible for sorting through employees' emails and documents when they change positions or leave the company? This leads to questions. How much knowledge are you losing each year to these problems? And even worse, how many smoking guns are you unaware of because you don't have a consistent managed process or applying retention rules to all of the content within your organization? The reality is that this is a serious issue, but it's a quiet one. Because the various departments that should work together aren't, many businesses are running day-to-day with no awareness that their costs and liabilities are going up, and they aren't taking steps to improve things. Each day that passes is just increasing the cost it would take to find a solution. It seems simple that a good records management solution can help organizations of all sizes reduce costs and ensure compliance. Any records management solution has to help organizations with one fundamental question. How do you determine what information must be retained and what information can be discarded? Even though the ability to create documents has increased as a whole, and more documents are created daily, only a small subset of these documents and information truly has a long-term and critical retention requirement, both from a business and legal perspective. Many documents have only a short-term value for immediate use. Considering the high volumes of documents generated daily, the business challenge is to determine which document is the right one to keep, store, and manage so that it can be easily and quickly retrieved at the right time. Not keeping the required documents can be detrimental, but keeping too many unnecessary documents presents its own difficulties as well. For example, if a business cannot find a legally required document in the volume of other less important items during an audit or investigation, it could be treated by an auditing agency as if the document was never kept in the first place. Not a good thing. Or if the latest and approved version of a contract is needed for final signature and cannot be located, it could be costly again, not a desirable outcome. Thus, to meet both their legal and business requirements, companies must find ways to keep their required documents in a well-managed way, while not drowning themselves in huge volumes of information that have only temporary value to the company. To succeed in this endeavor, it is important to design document lifecycle business processes and policies that are in tune with the rhythm of the business while incorporating the legal and corporate requirements. Now let's review the benefits of a good records management solution. Put simply, a good records management system will help reduce the risk of non-compliance and legal liability, will ensure that records vital to business continuity are retained, and will reduce the cost of retrieving information during audits or legal discovery. This is why Microsoft Office SharePoint 2007 Enterprise has content management and records management features built in. Let's look at the enterprise content management components of SharePoint 2007. The goal is to provide any integrated ECM and records management platform with Microsoft Office SharePoint 2007. SharePoint has a unified storage architecture that is based on a common framework of components and technologies designed for scalability, interoperability, and stability. SharePoint 2007 also provides a unified set of services like the WebPart framework, integrated search, integrated user management and user rights, digital rights management, workflow, and security model and collaboration. There is also a unified repository infrastructure for storing ECM objects of all types and sizes, including documents, emails, forms, images, web content objects, discussion threads, lists, web links, and more. On top of these unified services, the core ECM components will be document management capabilities, which enable organizations to manage documents through their lifecycle by enforcing appropriate policies at every step of the way, centralized repositories improve information discovery, and policies can be set that facilitate the document's tracking throughout the organization using labels and barcodes. In addition, the centralized and managed storage results in an increased ability to predict storage requirements and better protect information assets against unauthorized use and inadvertent loss through item-level security and server-side information rights management. Microsoft's document management capability harnesses the collective expertise of the organization and facilitates workflow through collaborative tools such as document check-in and check-out, version control, and workflows to automate the approval review processes. In addition to this are rich and robust web content management capabilities and forms management capabilities. Records management capabilities give record managers the ability to set up a records repository according to the organization's file plan. The repository exhibits vault behavior, which ensures that the records in it are not altered in any way. Multiple libraries for organizing different types of business records can be created, and retention policies can be based on the retention schedules. Records can be captured from external sources like document management systems, email servers, and Microsoft Outlook, and routed to the correct location in the repository. Physical records can be managed as well. The system also provides the ability to specify an action when the expiration date is reached, which either disposes the record or starts a workflow that can allow the records manager to take action, like moving this record to a long-term archive. Auditing policies can be turned on to log all activity against a record library, and administrators have the ability to see reports on the usage. The hold functionality assists in managing the legal discovery process by superseding the retention policy on a record under discovery so that it is not disposed of even when the expiration trigger is reached. User acceptance and uptake will be increased thanks to an intuitive interface that integrates with common Microsoft applications such as Microsoft Word, Microsoft Outlook, Microsoft Front Page, and web browsers, and integrates with third-party applications. Reliance on IT is minimized thanks to a familiar interface that allows users to make ECM an extension of their normal workload, and IT maintenance time is further reduced by the fact that the solution can be centrally deployed and managed using common tools and services. Finally, the solution has been designed with great flexibility and scalability to suit any organization's pace, whether it is deployed for a particular team or task or throughout the organization. Let's move on to our next agenda item. Now that we've looked at Microsoft's ECM strategy and the records management features of SharePoint 2007, let's take a more detailed look at how records are managed. The first thing we need to discuss are some new features that make managing records easy. There are two ways to organize an electronic records management system. One way is to create folders for each kind of content or event, and the other is to have a well-defined set of record types in any piece of content that can be declared as a specific type of record, regardless of where it is filed. Organizations use both types of systems, so both types of systems are enabled in SharePoint 2007. But content types are a new feature that deserve a closer look. In SharePoint 2007, IT administrators and records managers can define, as part of their file plan, the list of record types that they manage within a repository. This record type uses a more generalized feature called a content type within SharePoint. A content type is just what it sounds like, a meta description of content that can include custom properties, a retention policy, and an associated set of workflows or business processes. SharePoint is media type and file format agnostic, meaning that literally anything can be declared as a record of any type. Office documents, PDFs, TIFFs, email, instant message conversations, videos, and physical records can all be classified and stored with the content types you create. By creating content types to manage your records, anything called a contract or a tax record or an employee performance review will be treated identically and consistently within your records management system. This allows you to define and manage the definition of a tax record. For example, in a single place, and as you review and make changes to that definition, it will be automatically propagated to your records. Because classification is a critical component to the success of any records management system, SharePoint enables a number of other features, like record filing and reporting, that help process records or help records managers identify if anything is out of policy. This is a simple concept from the records management point of view, but this should also be considered from the user's point of view. For example, a company may define a contract content type that includes the appropriate and required metadata to make it easy to find that contract later and the appropriate workflows for getting that contract signed off. For that reason, it's recommended that users to specify the type of content from the beginning of a content's life. Records managers will like this because this can make figuring out where each declared record belongs in the file plan simpler and more consistent. Another important feature to records management and to document management in general is the document information panel. You'll see this in the upcoming demo, but let's talk about it briefly now. The document information panel helps address a major challenge facing organizations. Ensuring that documents which eventually may be declared as records are tagged with the appropriate metadata to make them easy to find, discover, and manage over the entire lifecycle. We've talked about the fact that the volume of content being created is increasing rapidly. In Office 2007, the new Document Information Panel feature is used to capture metadata on Word, Excel, and PowerPoint documents in a better and more flexible way, from the moment of creation. This is the result of feedback by customers who reported that when they add documents to a document management system, They are always asked to enter metadata at the wrong time, when the document has just been finalized and people are ready to stop working on it. Even though providing that metadata is critical to the organization's ability to find and reuse that content later, people often don't do it. The result is that users will often provide the least amount of information possible and will provide incorrect data for required fields. For example, they might simply type gibberish to fill out a field and move on. The document information panel will make collecting this information a better experience for users, and as that experience improves for other users, so does the quality of metadata captured by the organization. This benefits users and knowledge managers in improving their ability to organize and find documents. What's more, the document information panel is simple and easy to use. One of the core issues for records managers is how to control each type of document and record that must be managed. The Information Management Policy in SharePoint 2007 addresses this issue. Information management policies can define when content expires, how often content is audited, and even if content is labeled or barcoded. In general, the information management policy provides these key capabilities. They allow records managers and administrators to specify a policy that defines how the system should handle content so that it is compliant with a records management program. They allow records managers and administrators to apply these policies to content types, document libraries, and lists in collaborative and record spaces so that, once these policies are applied, all content classified within that content type or place will automatically be managed in accordance with that policy, without any active user participation. Next, we'll review collaborative spaces. Your organization's information infrastructure consists of two different types of spaces: collaborative spaces where knowledge workers do their work, and record spaces where records managers administer the business records that must be retained beyond the period of time when they're useful to the knowledge workers who created them. First, let's look at collaborative spaces. Collaborative spaces are the places where information workers do their daily work. Examples include email, file shares, web-based collaboration tools like SharePoint, or line-of-business applications, independent of any particular tool or application used to do the work. Collaborative spaces share the following characteristics. First, they're designed to maximize employee productivity. They give people freedom to work the way they want. They might be decentralized and are typically tightly managed. The goal here is to maximize productivity. If the collaborative space is too tightly managed, information workers will be slowed down or they just won't use it. Because maximizing productivity isn't aligned with the goals of corporate records management, the decisions employees and IT administrators make here about what to keep or delete won't be consistent with the company's records retention goals. So these are not the right places to keep business records for any long period of time. Second, most of the content created in collaborative spaces are not records. During the normal course of business, knowledge workers generate a lot of information. Some of the information constitutes business records, such as documents and other information that need to be kept in order to preserve the corporate memory of company activity. However, most of the information created in these collaborative spaces is of short-term value and only valuable to the people involved in its creation, and does not need to be retained. So what should the objectives be for a records management program as it applies to collaborative spaces? There are three. First, because some of the information created in these collaborative spaces are records, there needs to be a mechanism for transporting those records to the record space, which are controlled by a records manager in accordance with the corporate retention schedule. Second, since the organization isn't required to retain most of the information in these collaborative spaces for a long period of time, Records managers should be ensuring that the non-record information is disposed of as soon as it's no longer of business value to knowledge workers. And third, because knowledge workers should not be impeded in doing their jobs, records managers have to meet the first two objectives while requiring minimal knowledge worker participation. Because anything that slows down knowledge workers in doing their job will meet with their resistance and with inconsistent compliance. If collaborative spaces are where knowledge workers do their day-to-day work, then record spaces are where the final official copies of information get managed by record managers for the life cycle of the record. This is a space where IT and records management have direct control over the structure, the filing, and the policies of your organization's most important and vital information. These spaces are the focal point of a records management program. Let's look at the key characteristics of a record space. First, record spaces are managed primarily by records managers and special privileged users. Records managers can configure their record spaces in whatever way best aligns with their file plan, retention schedules, and compliance requirements. While the taxonomy and policies in a collaborative space need to be simple enough to be understood by knowledge workers, the record spaces can be much more rigidly structured. This is a space for long-term filing and access, not for rapid, highly collaborative work. The structure should be optimized to best keep the organization's records management program functioning smoothly. Second, all of the contents in a record space are records or metadata supporting your records. Whereas a collaborative space contains drafts or work-in-progress information that usually doesn't become official records, record spaces are intended solely to store and manage records that have been declared. Third and finally, records are immutable. They cannot be edited or modified since they represent the official corporate memory. Records also need to be retained for relatively long periods of time compared to information in a collaborative space. And it's useful to keep your records in a well-managed space that you can be sure will exist in 5, 10, or 50 years. Or at least that the content will migrate appropriately as technology changes. So what should the objectives of a records management program be for record spaces? First, define a folder structure and metadata schema to match the file plan, both in terms of folder structures and the metadata required for appropriately managing records of each type over the course of their retention periods. Metadata is an especially important consideration for a record space. Given the large volume of records that organizations need to retain, it's critical that you capture as metadata the information you'll need to manage those records over their entire retention periods. Second, implement retention schedules that can be followed as automatically and consistently as possible. Retention schedules are influenced by business needs, legal and regulatory requirements, and a host of other factors. The key to allowing a records management program to handle a large volume of records efficiently and to demonstrating that your program is consistently followed is to design a program that can be executed with as little ongoing human intervention as possible. Of course, no one would claim that records management should be a fully automated process. Human involvement is vital in many cases. However, in all situations, the goal should be to automate as much of the routine work as possible, freeing up records managers to focus only in the areas where their hands-on involvement is most valuable. Third, create appropriate hold order processes to respond to external events. Every records management program needs a way to suspend record disposition when external events require it. However, even these hold order processes should be as automated as possible so that the minimum amount of human effort is required to discover content responsive to that hold order, suspend its disposition, produce it for an external party if necessary, and eventually release that hold order to resume normal record disposition. We'll talk more about hold orders later in this session. Fourth, organizations must have the ability to audit the usage and conformance of your records and policies to their stated plans and goals. The best laid plans are useless if you don't have a means for monitoring and reporting on where your content is filed, how often it's being referenced, by whom, and how much of your content is out of policy for various reasons, as well as a report of all materials managed by active hold orders. Now let's look at how these capabilities are implemented in SharePoint 2007. In this demonstration, we'll review content types, the document information panel, and learn to create and configure a collaborative space. Let's start by explaining what we'll be covering today in this session. We will focus on the records management features in Office SharePoint Server 2007. We'll cover how to configure them, how to use them, and how other features and applications work with them. For today's demonstration, we will look at the fictitious company Litware. They already have developed a file plan and now are in the process of implementing the records management structure within Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007 for that file plan. We will see how the systems administrator, under the guidance of the records manager, uses the records management features to efficiently organize and better manage those contracts. The majority of Litware's sales staff work remotely. They all start using the same templates for proposals and contracts, but with no centralized management, each individual is free to modify the templates. Over time, this resulted in contracts that not only didn't have a consistent look across the company, but that also often required legal review. The challenge at hand is to solve that problem by implementing a records management system within the organization. That's what we'll be showing you today. We'll get started by accessing the Litware SharePoint 2007 site. There are two phases in the records management process: the collaborative phase, where people work together to create documents, and the management phase, where finalized documents are managed. A holistic approach to records management will produce the best results. This approach lets the sales team work freely in the collaborative phase, but introduces a standardized process for moving contracts to records repositories as they are finalized. First, we will create a site. This will be the central storage area the salespeople use while collaborating on proposals and contracts. This process is similar to previous versions of SharePoint. We'll name the new space Client Proposals, provide a description and a URL. Standard user permissions are adequate. We'll select the sales option under division. The site will be used internationally, so we will select the checkbox as well. We'll use the standard team site template for this site. There is a description of the features included within each site template. You can add or remove web parts later as needed. From the client proposal site, we can see the announcements web part, the calendar web part, links, and of course, the document library. You can also add other web parts and organize the site layout. To effectively integrate this collaborative space with the corporate file plan and the records repository, some preparation is required. Columns, which represent metadata associated with specific content types, must be defined. The document library settings allow these to be created. Office SharePoint 2007 allows different types of content to be stored inside a single content library. Content types support that and allow each type of document to have its own custom metadata. The content types can only reference site columns or metadata elements, not columns defined in the document library. These are defined in the Site Settings page found in the Site Actions list. Under Galleries, you can click Site Columns. In the Site Column Gallery, you can see all the site columns that come with SharePoint 2007 out of the box. These default columns include standard elements like start date, end date, comments, title, and URL. The provided columns meet many of the basic needs, including columns for contact name, calendar columns, document columns, task columns, KPI columns, page layout columns, and publishing and reporting columns. We want to capture some specific metadata to help track sales contracts, so we'll need to create a new site column. We will create the proposal state column, which will be used to show the state of the proposal. Users will be able to select from defined options. It's a good idea to group things logically to make them easier to find. This space in the documents will be used by Litware sales team, so we will use Litware sales as the name for this group. You can require that documents being posted must have an entry in this column. By requiring key elements to be defined, SharePoint can help ensure that metadata is associated with documents consistently. You can define the options that will be available to the salespeople. They will have three choices that define the state of a given proposal: a draft for review, submit it to client, or final with signatures. You control how the salespeople can input this metadata with options such as drop-down menu, options buttons, or checkboxes. A drop-down menu is the default. You can prevent users from typing text into the field by clearing the Allow Fill-in Choices option. You can choose if the field has a default entry and what that will be. Let's create another site column named Legal Review that will be a simple yes-no checkbox. It will be part of the Litware sales group, and the default value will be no. Now you can start defining content types. Go to Site Settings, and under Galleries, click Content Types. The default content types that come with SharePoint 2007 are displayed. There are content types for Business Intelligence, Documents, and Folders. There are list content types for things like Events, Contacts, Announcements, and Tasks. You also have page layout content types and publishing content types. Since we have specific metadata that needs to be captured, we will create a new content type. The first content type will be the Litware Sales Proposal. It's important to understand that content types support inheritance. If you have several different types of documents that all have common properties, you can define a single base content type to apply to all of those documents. That's what we'll do here. Base content types don't have to be created from scratch, but are inherited from some existing content type. In this case, the sales proposal content type will inherit properties from the standard document content type. Wanting to organize the system efficiently and intuitively, we'll use Litware Sales as the group name. We will add an existing site column as the content type. Remember that, unlike lists and fields, you can't just add a custom column. You have to add from existing site columns. We will select the proposal state site column. Lists and templates will be updated based on this. In the Column Settings section, you can make the Litware Sales Proposal field required. Now you can create a derived content type. This content type will inherit from the base content type we just created. This will be the Litware Sales Contract content type. Selecting Litware Sales as the parent allows it to inherit from the base content type. Now we'll select the Legal Review site column for the derived content type. We can see the two site columns added earlier listed in the Columns section. We don't want the title and item columns, which are left over from the document content type that was used at the starting point for the Litware Sales Proposal content type. We will access the title content type and click Remove to remove that content type. We also want to associate a Word document template with the sales contract. This will ensure that the entire sales staff is using the same template when they are using the client proposal site. We can browse to the template we want, open it, and click OK. Now we will return to the Client Proposal Document Library. Looking at the types of documents we can create, we only see the standard New Document and New Folder. We don't see the template that was just added. We will go to the Document Library Settings. No Content Type section is shown on the Settings page for the Document Library. This can be changed by going to Advanced Settings and changing the Allow Management of Content Types setting to Yes. The Content Type section is displayed now. We can add the content types that we've defined in order to associate them with this document library. We will add the content types Litware Sales Contract and Litware Sales Proposal. We can also remove the standard document content type, since we want the salespeople to always use the proposal template. The two templates associated with this document library are now available, the contract and the proposal. Now it's time to see how this metadata is captured when a document is uploaded, using a sales contract between Litware and Fabricane. When the document is uploaded, you are prompted to fill in the required metadata. The content type is Litware Sales Contract. That's the first option on the list, and it happens to match in this case. But you have to assign the appropriate content type. If this were a proposal, you'd have to select the proposal content type. All documents have a name. We added the proposal state earlier. There's a legal review field. Now we will switch to the other content type, the proposal. The name field stays the same. The title field, however, is different. There's a title field for proposals, but not for contracts. The proposal state field is still there, but is no legal review field. The metadata changes based on the content type make it easy to fill out when the document is posted. This is a sales contract, so we will select that content type. We will change to the other fields as appropriate. For example, we will indicate that this contract has been signed and that a legal review has been performed. Now let's examine the document information panel. Remembering our holistic approach to good records management, We want to capture metadata early in the document lifecycle. Records managers too often end up capturing metadata about documents as they are going into storage. This then requires backtracking through the evolution of document in order to capture the data correctly, or filling in incomplete or inaccurate data to get around validation checks. The goal of the document information panel is to make capturing this metadata quick and painless. The document information panel is simple, just 7 fields. We'll look at the advanced properties shortly. If you turn on the document information panel, it will come up by default when a new document is started. The author field is even populated automatically, pointing to a field with display a tooltip. All that's left to do is fill in the fields. We'll put in a title, put in a subject, and put in some keywords. The category field is a way of sorting the document that adheres to company policy and makes sense to the author. We will indicate the status as draft. A company can, of course, choose to standardize some of these terms. You can also add comments to include more detailed information. You do this through the Advanced Properties dialog box. This dialog box is similar to the Document Properties dialog box found in previous versions of Word. You can see the different tabs and how the information from the Document Information Panel is used. There are Statistics, Contents, and Custom tabs. The Properties panel is designed to make it easy to capture basic data early in the process. Now we will save the document. Next, we will look at how document policies are configured. There's another document that needs to be uploaded to the Client Proposals document library. That's the Contoso proposal, which is in a draft state. With that document uploaded, we'll access the document library settings. Information management policies are configured under Permissions and Policies. We want to set a policy for Litware sales contracts. The name is automatically inserted. We will provide a detailed description because we want users and records managers to understand why the policy is configured to take certain actions. You may also reference the file plan directly. With policies, you can also enable document labels. This will prompt users to insert a label before saving or printing. This could be a company logo or a document identifier, like confidential. You have a variety of settings for the appearances and size of the label. In this case, labels aren't required for the Litware sales proposal content type. Auditing needs to be enabled. Managers of this client proposal space want to know when a document is opened or downloaded, as well as when documents are viewed, edited, checked in or checked out, deleted or restored. They want to keep track of how the sales force is using this document library. There are several other types of policies entries for content expiration, form conversion, and barcoding. We'll cover those in the next demo. The collaborative space has been configured, and now salespeople have a centralized location to work in when they are creating proposals. Content types have been defined and associated with document templates so that the sales staff will all start with the same templates every time. The metadata is captured along the way, now allowing these proposals to be tracked through their life cycle from draft to signature. In the next demo, we'll see how to create and configure records repositories and how to manage content inside of records repositories. Now let's move on to the next agenda item. We'll look at hold orders, what they are, and how records managers can put a hold on records. So what are hold orders? Anyone who is familiar with records management will know what a hold order is. However, if you're not familiar with the concept, this information will be helpful. Hold orders deal with litigations and external events. In other words, you have some records that are being retained and someone wants to see them due to litigation or audit. Remember that your file plan includes policies for storing and disposing of records. When records need to be accessed, you implement a hold order to retrieve the data and make sure it's not disposed of. The records in question then need to be located. Then the records management program needs to suspend record disposition when external events require it. However, even these hold order processes should be as automated as possible so that the minimum amount of human effort is required to discover content responsive to that hold order. Suspend its disposition, produce it for an external party if necessary, and eventually release that hold order to resume normal record disposition. Once a request for information has been received by an organization using Microsoft Office SharePoint 2007, a user with the appropriate permissions, usually an attorney or other authorized individual, can issue a hold order on that record. The hold order overrides any expiration policies. Let's see how this process works in SharePoint 2007. In this demonstration, we will create and configure a records repository, configure policies for the records repository, and submit documents to the records repository. Finally, we'll create a hold order on a record in the records repository. In the previous demo, we created and configured the collaboration space. Now we'll set up the records repository. The collaboration space is where these documents will begin as drafts or proposals and become contracts when signed. The records repository is where the contracts will be permanently stored. Creating a records repository is simple. Create a site and use the records repository template. We can see that the repository is set up and see the email address of the repository. We'll configure document routing later. The records repository must be configured to match the file plan. Document libraries are created to store the various types of documents, create policies to expire, and audit access to the documents as required by the file plan. By default, a document library for unclassified documents is set up automatically. This is the catch-all document library. In addition to a document library, a routing rule is set up. We'll cover record routing later. When you click Documents, you can see all the document libraries that are created by default when the records repository is created. The Records Pending Submission document library is a temporary storage location for documents that are submitted to the repository but are missing required metadata. The Missing Properties document library provides an interface that allows users to fill in missing data for submitted documents. We'll cover hold reports later. The next step in mapping the Litware document management infrastructure to the file plan is to create a document library to store sales contracts that have been signed. We will create the document library and add a description. An email address can be assigned to the document library, allowing users to email signed contracts to the records repository. We can also set policies at this time. This is the same policy interface used by the client proposal space. The same policies options are available. Records managers may choose to enable different policies than a team site administrator. Auditing will be enabled on this document library. Records managers want to know if records are checked in or checked out, or if they have been moved, deleted, or restored. Documents shouldn't be edited once they are in the repository. In the sales contracts document library, we will enable the expiration option. Many options are available, allowing the library to be configured according to the file plan. In this case, documents will expire 5 years after they were created. You can also have the expiry time set to programmatically, perhaps through a workflow. When a document expires, you can delete the record and optionally the submission information as well. You can use form conversion for archiving to generate images of forms, which can then be archived. When you enable this, an image is created for each form in the library or when a form is modified. You can also have documents barcoded for tracking purposes. Now we will configure the records repository. The first column we'll add is one that will let us track the date the contract goes into effect. Again, as we're configuring this, we'll add a group to organize these columns. We also want to make the effective date required information. The next column is the point of contact. This is a person who oversaw the contract development, facilitated the contract, and signed the contract. This could be one of many record types, a lookup, a person, or group. The wearer has chosen a single line of text to hold the contact name. As before, we will assign this to the records management group and make this information required. Now we will add the columns we just created to the sales contracts document library. We can also configure the missing properties document library to use these site columns. Remember that the missing properties document library is an entry point for users to fill in missing document metadata. Let's look at the missing properties document library. By default, it is in the standard document view. We want to change that in order to make it easier to use. We'll customize the document library by adding the effective date and point of contact site columns. Next, we'll change the default view to the unclassified records view. This view displays documents and their properties in a nicely organized fashion. similar to the lines in a table or spreadsheet. Be sure to add the effective date and point of contact columns. Many options for sorting and filtering are provided. We can also assign an email address to this document library. The new default view in the Missing Properties document library is now much easier to use. Document routing defines where documents sent to the records repository are stored. By default, there is a routing rule set up to send documents that don't need classification criteria to the Unclassified Records Document Library. We will create a new route for sales contracts. Since some salespeople also call these work orders, we will include that alias. Since we want users to easily transfer documents from this document library to the records repository, we can set up a custom send to location. This is done in the Advanced Settings area of the Client Proposals repository. This is the URL of the Sales Contracts document library in the records repository. The option to send to the Litware Records Repository is available on the Send To menu for the documents in this library. This document is finalized, signed, and ready to be stored and can now be sent to the repository. We will see that the copy operation was successful. Be aware that the original copy was not deleted from the client proposal space. That's up to the person managing this document library or workspace. You can see the contract in the records repository. The contract is not checked in, so we will do that. We get an error message telling us that we must fill out all required properties before checking the document in. When we go back and edit the document properties, we see that we have to fill in the effective date and the point of contact. Now we can check in the document. Records might also be routed to the missing properties document library. Right now, this document library is empty. We will switch to Outlook and browse for that new contract and attach it to a message. Then we will send the message to rm@moss.litwareinc.com. And it will be routed to the missing properties document library. We've set the contents with an expiration date. What happens if content is set to expire and something like an audit or litigation requires that records need to be retained past that date? These situations can be handled by assigning a hold order. First, we need to create a whole list, and then we can add documents to that list. Now we can put this contract on hold by adding it to the list. It won't be expired until the hold is removed. We can verify that the contract was successfully put on hold. The last agenda item covers email records management. Companies increasingly rely on email for workday communications. It follows, then, that an increasing amount of important information related to contracts, accounts, customer service, and other business-critical areas is now contained in electronic documents. Proper email records management, therefore, is critical to any records management solution. There are two new features that make managing email records easier. Microsoft Office SharePoint 2007 provides a policy-based solution for managing email content across Microsoft Office Outlook 2007, Microsoft Exchange Server 2007, and Office SharePoint Server 2007. This is accomplished through two new features, Manage Mail Folders and Mail Management Policies. Manage Mail Folders works in conjunction with Exchange Server 2007. It helps records managers and compliance officers manage the email in individual mailboxes more effectively by defining a set of standard folders, each with an explicit business purpose, in which individual employees can file their email. These folders can be deployed to individual information workers based on their roles within the organization, so that people who fill equivalent roles across a company can have similar top-level filing structures in their mailboxes. Mail management policies are the rules behind each managed mail folder. These will also exist as a written policy statement. Policies can be applied to any email folder, such as inbox, drafts, and sent items, and a default policy can be applied to other folders that are not explicitly named. Policy statements appear at the top of each folder view in Office Outlook 2007 and Microsoft Outlook Web Access. These statements help records managers, compliance officers, and IT workers to communicate the policies associated with folders in a way that makes sense to employees and that no one can claim they ever saw. Let's look at these features. In this demonstration, we will create and configure Manage Mail folders, configure policies for these folders, and submit documents to the folders. Finally, we'll synchronize the items into Outlook 2007 so that they can be utilized with the mail client. Using SharePoint 2007 with Exchange Server 2007, Manage Mail Folders help records managers and compliance officers manage the email in individual mailboxes more effectively by defining a set standard of folders, each with an explicit business purpose, in which individual employees can file their email. These folders can be deployed to individual information workers based on their roles within the organization, so people who fill equivalent roles across a company can have similar top-level filing structures in their mailboxes. We need to have an Active Directory domain controller set up. On our server, we have Active Directory running with our litwareinc.com domain. Also, we need to have a version of Exchange Server 2007 operating. Ideally, you would want Exchange Server 2007 to be placed on a separate system. However, for this demonstration, we will have it installed on our Microsoft Office SharePoint server. Once we go into our Exchange Management shell, we can do a search for available Exchange servers. We have our Moz server appearing on the list, and it is connected to the Litware Inc. domain. Also, we will be using the 2007 Microsoft Office system for this demonstration, with Outlook 2007 as our mail client. Let's go into our SharePoint 2007 application. Earlier, we created a client proposal site. In our scenario, we will be using this site to create folders that would be used in conjunction with Outlook 2007 to manage our files and messages. Our folders will need to be placed in the Shared Documents document library on our site. Within Shared Documents, you are able to create a shared access point among different members of the company. Let's go ahead and create our first folder. One function of this company is to generate sales contracts for their clients. In order to manage the contracts within this department, we first need to create a folder that will hold the item. Let's name this folder Contracts and then create it. Next, we need to add a folder for sales proposals. The sales department also sends out various proposal forms, which will need to be managed. By creating a Proposals folder, we are able to isolate all of these forms into their own environment. Finally, there are several incoming and outgoing email messages between the sales staff and the client. We will need to clean this part up as well. For this folder, we want to name it Client Communications. We can manage permissions for each of the folders that we have created. By default, the folders are issued the same permissions as their parents. However, you can adjust permissions at the item level if you want. Now that we have our folders created and permissions managed, we can add content to our folders to show how they will exist in Outlook 2007. With our folders intact, we can now add them to our Outlook 2007 menu. To do this, we need to connect to Outlook through SharePoint and synchronize the items. You will be prompted for the option to enter event settings before your synchronization. For this demonstration, we want to use the default settings. We now have three new folders in our Outlook panel: Client Communications, Contracts, and Proposals. Now that we have the folders created, we can add items to them to show how they will be viewed in Outlook. Earlier, we created a contracts template that would be used to manage contracts with other organizations. Now we can use that template to create a sample contract that will be saved in our Contracts folder. Generally, we would fill out the contract information and save the completed version. However, for this demonstration, we want to show how the process works for saving the contract. We will leave the information blank and save the file. Our client's name is Lucerne Publishing, so we will name the contract Lucerne Client Contract. Now that it is saved, we can go into the contracts folder and see that the Word file has been saved in the location. Next, we will use the proposals template that we created earlier to save a sample to our proposals folder. As with the contracts template, we will leave the information blank for now. Let's name our proposal Lucerne Proposal. Finally, let's create a sample message that would generally be used in communications with our client. To do this, we first need to create a new mail message. Rather than entering information, we will simulate that we have a message that will be sent to our client. We can save the message to our client communications folder. This scenario will be a follow-up letter to one of our clients, so let's name the message follow-up. Also, the default format setting for the message is .htm. The format of the message created in the SharePoint document library is important. If we don't save the message in .msg format, we will be at risk of losing any attachments to the message once it is saved. Now that our message is saved, let's close it to view our folders. We are prompted to save again. Let's click Yes to save the file. Generally, the item we have saved should show up in our Outlook folders. However, to be safe, let's check for new mail to ensure that the items are added. The folders now have the new items in them. In Client Communications, we can see the follow-up message we created. In contracts, our Lucerne client contract is now listed. Finally, our Lucerne proposal document is available to view in the proposals folder. Managed mail folders can be deployed to individual information workers based on their roles within the organization, so people who fill equivalent roles across the company can have similar top-level filing structures in their mailboxes. Let's review what we covered in this session. The most important thing to take away from this session is that a complete and robust records management solution is built into Microsoft Office 2007. It includes simple and easy-to-use processes, such as content types and policies, and integrates with other Microsoft applications, as well as with third-party applications. Records repositories allow records managers to configure the repository according to the file plan and implement automated policies, which can help your organization maintain records and show that it is compliant. Hold orders can be issued in the event of litigation or audit. SharePoint 2007 works with Exchange 2007 and Outlook 2007 to allow for robust management of email records as well. To get more information on products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. You can also visit www.microsoft.com/technet/DSK108 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There is also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Pressbooks, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals, and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic, Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. You become a fully certified system administrator, or MSCA, System Engineer, or MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, or MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you might find interesting. To help explain this in more detail, here's Caroline McGrath, TechNet Relationship Marketing Manager.
For IT professionals, all the resources in the TechNet program will give you the support you need to be successful with our technology. Whether you are deploying new software, managing a server environment, or troubleshooting, TechNet has a resource for you. Use the web for immediate access to documentation, knowledge base, scripts, downloads, and more. Webcasts and events will give you deep insight into specific technology topics. Keep up to date with technology news using the TechNet Flash. This is a twice-monthly newsletter that you can customize to give you information about the specific technology that interests you. With more time to read, the TechNet magazine is an excellent resource offering in-depth articles written by industry-leading technologists. If you want to ensure that you have all of the essential resources at your fingertips, the TechNet subscription is for you. It includes full version software and betas so that you can evaluate our technology at your own pace. No time bombs, so your product analysis won't time out. It includes two complimentary telephone support incidents. Talk to Microsoft technical professionals to help you with whatever challenges you may encounter with the software. That is $500 worth of value. The TechNet subscription is a great value to all IT professionals. Finally, we have TechNet VLabs. Use this to get your hands on the technology in a hosted environment. You can explore how it works, run different scenarios, and have a full product experience without having to dedicate your time to deploy and manage the hardware to do so yourself. Overall, the TechNet program has all of the resources you need to get the most out of Microsoft technology. TechNet Plus subscription. What is it? Get hands-on experience with the technology through software and betas, including Office, Windows and servers. Support when you need it, including 2 free telephone support incidents. Easy access to information via updates, utilities, white papers, knowledge base and more. Work on your skills at your own pace. E-learning courses and training. The TechNet Plus subscription. That's what it is. Need support? Answers are standing by. You have a choice of 3 support offerings from Microsoft. Firstly, we have online and self-help. Choose from the TechNet website, the Security Center Online, Knowledge Base, Product Support Centers, the TechNet Script Center, News Groups, User Groups, and the TechNet Plus subscription. Secondly, we have assisted incidents. Assisted incidents include email support, phone support contracts, advisory services. Finally, contract-based support. Contract-based support is offered to organizations and consists of premier support or essential support. Thank you for listening to this TechNet session.